الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه من احتمى بسنة إلى يوم الدين. أفرج الله أن يلاقي في اللحن بأن الله شفاق محمد وعلى سلم ونوضو في قول الفاق righteousness of the last day. Now the main subject of the khutbah today was concerning nazaha or cleanliness. You know that this past week has been called cleanliness week, you know, here in Saudi Arabia. And as a number of scholars have pointed out here, for the Muslim, there is no such thing as cleanliness week. I mean, cleanliness is something which is an ongoing thing. It's not something which is done for 1 week. It's something which is supposed to be a part of his life. And the term which is used in Arabic, Tahara, this is a term which, you know, refers to cleanliness in the Islamic context, which includes both the physical cleanliness as well as the spiritual and ideological cleanliness. Because you can't separate one from the other. The Islamic system is all interrelated. In the West and Western thought, of course, the physical or mature aspect of man is given precedence, the spiritual aspect downplayed, if not denied. And as such, the idea of physical cleanliness, you know, could take on major proportions for periods of time, like a week or a month or whatever. But as Muslims, when we call to cleanliness, it should be something which is throughout one's life, not restricted to a day or a week, but a constant call. The very fact that every time we prepare for Salah, we engage in this process, which is known as Tahara, cleanliness. This is reminding us that it is an ongoing thing. I mean, 5 times a day, if not more, we are involved in this process of cleanliness. But as I said, in the Islamic context, the cleanliness is not just the outer cleanliness. Because as I've pointed out to you before, when a person prepares himself for Salah, and he makes wudu, and after making wudu, as he steps away from the place of making wudu, he passes wind. He now has to go back to the place of wudu and do this wudu all over again, washing his mouth, nose, face, and wiping his head and washing his feet. The very fact that he passed wind, and he's not washing his behind, he's washing again his hands, mouth, as if these parts of his body got dirty in that second that he stepped from the place of wudu. But in fact, that aspect, this other aspect of his body did not exist. The very fact that this principle is there, this is telling us that Tahara or wudu, cleanliness, the act of cleanliness that one does before prayer, is not a physical act merely. There is an aspect to it which is physical, which is the actual cleaning of the body, which starts with the process and to get dirty most often. But it goes beyond that. It is, in fact, purifying one's thoughts, one's spirit, preparing oneself to stand before Allah. That is the essence, really, of the wudu. That's why it's very important for us to make the wudu that we say Bismillah before doing so. And giving the shahada at the end, saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna muhammadan rasulullah. We're saying this at the end of making the wudu. This is reminding us
renewing our faith, reminding us of the law, and trying to help to make that wudu not just an automatic consciousness act. We should be conscious of it. This is why the Prophet Muhammad had also said that, you know, when you wash, you know, you should, you know, wash well. And, you know, with every drip of water that drips from the hand, etc., you know, your sins are dropping off. This is for wudu, which is done with the consciousness of God in mind. When one purifies oneself, conscious that he's doing so for the pleasure of God, for the pleasure of Allah, preparing to stand before Allah, this is a means of purification from his sins. So, this internal purification has even greater precedent than the external purification. So we know that because an individual who is in a situation where he is unable to make wudu with water, we know that he makes in place of it tayammum, where he takes dust and he puts dust on his face and his hands. And if he's not able to even do tayammum because he's in a situation where he's in a hospital or whatever, and he has no control of his bowel movement, he has no access to any kind of dust or anything like this, he may be quadriplegic, he's lying there wanting to move his head, that individual still makes the law. He makes the intention for purity first. He makes his intention for purifying himself before standing before Allah, or to be present before Allah. And then he mentally goes through the process of salah. So this is telling us that that mental spiritual purification is the greater aspect of the Sahara, wudu, etc. And we all should try to keep that in mind so that the wudu doesn't become a meaningless ritual. Because this is something that the human being has to constantly be struggling against. Anytime you do the same thing over and over again, the tendency is for that thing to become automatic. Softness. You don't think about it anymore. You just go through the music. Right? This is a natural tendency in man. And this is part of the test. Because of course Allah could have made it, and each time we do it, we think about it every time automatically. But instead, he's made it that each time we do something, then let's we think about it. So it means that we have to make a conscious effort to try to think about it, to be conscious of what we're doing. So this is part of the test of Allah in terms of remembering of Allah. This is a struggle that we all have to be conscious of. It's very easy to be concerned about the major struggles, what the corruption in society and the different, you know, major issues, the wars that are being fought, jihad in Afghanistan, and all these different things. These are major issues. It's very easy to be very conscious of these things and forget just basic things like Sahara, cleanliness in Islamic way of life. And in effect, although we might be out there making or having all this concern, we do all this concerning that, we're neglecting something that is very basic and very essential to our own religion, to our own practice of Islam, which is what Allah is going to ask us about on the Day of Judgment, first and foremost. He's not going to ask us about the war in Afghanistan, the major corruption that exists in the society. The worst thing he's going to ask about us is Salah. But you can't concern this one. The first thing he's going to ask about is Salah. And of course, what kind of Salah is? Preparation for the Salah. The wudu. So this is the very first thing that you're going to be asking about. So now we've neglected that. It became just an automatic ritual. We've changed it also to make our prayer an automatic ritual. That essential practice, which comes right after our definition of faith, which is supposed to represent the manifestation, or you could say the belief in action. In fact, this action is a useless, meaningless act. Is in fact sampling the reality of our declaration of faith. And this is how critical it is. So, you know, as the Imam, of course, in his khutbah, he went into a lot of, you know, other areas, you know, which are, you know, concerning thought, in terms of ideas of communism, etc., purifying oneself of these kinds of thought, also represents purification in Islam. That one's thoughts, you know, the ideas that things which one holds, are purified. In these areas, also, it also represents the areas of the things, for example, that we listen to. If we're at home in the house, we're, you know, we're listening to, you know, corrupt forms of music, etc. You know, we're listening, watching videos and, you know, corruption on it. I mean, this is, we can't honestly say that we're purifying ourselves, making wudu. After so long, we come back and sit down and watch a video, you know, making people tell these different kinds of things. They're talking about things which are unacceptable, which are unacceptable, and doing things which are unacceptable. We're just sitting there watching it and enjoying it. I see, there's a big question mark on the issue of nazafa here. I mean, where is the nazafa? You have to be very, you know, you have to try to understand that the basic principles of Islam go beyond the very act that we do. It's not just the act of making the wudu and the end there. That act is manifest in the prayer, and when it's manifest, it's supposed to be manifest in the various aspects of life. You have to be very careful of not breaking up our Islam into little compartments. We have prayer, which is 5 times a day, but then outside of prayer, you're doing things which contradict the prayer. This is why Allah says in the Quran, in the Salah, تَنْهَا عَنْ الْفَحْشَعَ وَالْمُنْكَرْ. The Salah forbids or prohibits فَحْشَعَ وَالْمُنْكَرْ. فَحْشَعَ is like, you know, filthy speech, and munkar is a deed. This is Salah is supposed to do that. So if we after Salah are involved in evil speech and evil deeds, then it's showing and telling us that that Salah that we pray, that we are praying, is not the Salah which Allah was talking about. It's something else. You know, it's a ritual that we've learned, and we just go through the motion. But it wasn't the Salah that Allah is calling us to, that Allah is going to reward us for. This week, inshallah, we'll look at some hadith, which we should have done last week, but it's working that we didn't have the material there, wouldn't it? The first hadith is entitled The Affair of a Believer. One of the Prophet Muhammad's companions, Shu'ayb, reported that Allah's Messenger said, "A believer's affair is a wonderful thing. All of his affair is good. And that is not the case of anyone but a believer. If good times come to him, he is thankful, and thus it will good for him. And if bad times befall him, he is patient, and thus it is also good for him." And it's collected by Muslims and Qadariyyah. Now, this hadith has a basic principle in it, which is important for us to reflect on, because this basic principle teaches us, as believers, how to deal with the various events of our life. From day to day, we are going through a series of different experiences. Some of them good, some of them bad. we're constantly being exposed to a series of experiences. Now, as a believer, we are supposed to relate to these experiences in a particular way. If we're conscious of this way, and we handle our day-to-day experiences in the fashion that is described by the Prophet here, then we, in fact, truly achieve Islam. And the meaning of Islam, as we have pointed out in the past, the meaning of Islam is peace. The essential meaning of Islam is peace. When we surrender ourselves to Allah, we said Islam meant surrender. When we surrender ourselves to Allah, then and we achieve true peace internally. We're in a state of peace throughout our life. Now, this peace actually is a result of our handling the circumstances of life. Realizing that everything which happens to us is what Allah has destined for us. How we handle it is what we are responsible for. We don't have to worry about the circumstances that occur in our life, because this is what Allah has done. What we have to worry about is how we handle those circumstances. The Prophet ﷺ has pointed out here that what distinguishes the believer from the disbeliever is that when good things happen to him, or her in their life, they are thankful. They are thankful. They don't become so overcome with joy, they're, you know, running around screaming, laughing, happy, and, you know. This is not thankfulness. Actually, when you get off into that type of state, it's very easy for you to forget Allah. You're so happy that this has happened to you, you've forgotten Allah. The first thing that should come to one's mind is Alhamdulillah. Is thanking Allah, because it was Allah who provided this thing for us. So we don't go to extremes over it. It doesn't go to our head. It doesn't make us want to hang on to this thing, that this good thing that has happened to us, to the exclusion of others. We don't want anybody else to share it with us. This is our good luck. Right? You know, tough luck for you. Right? This is my good luck. The same way I want to enjoy this all by myself. We don't get into that kind of state of mind. If the first thing we can reflect on when the good times come is Alhamdulillah, then we are succeeded in the test. Because these good times, what happens is that people tend to think that the test is bad times. But in reality, the test is good times and bad times. Good times is the test. It's a big test. It's a test of whether we will be grateful for Allah. And when we say we are grateful to Allah, again, it goes beyond the ritual of Alhamdulillah. Just saying Alhamdulillah, which means all praise is due to Allah. Just saying that, this is what fulfills the requirement. After prayer, we know the Prophet ﷺ recommended that we say,